You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. There were no Monet Davises in this year's Little League World Series. You remember her. She was the pitching sensation who captured the nation's attention as the 18th girl to have taken part in the Little League World Series and the first Little Leaguer to grace the cover of Sports Illustrated. But long before that, there was our guest. 66 years ago, in 1950, she became the first girl to play Little League Baseball. She did not throw like a girl. And she's still waiting for a call from the New York Yankees, but more about that later. What an honor it is for us to welcome a baseball pioneer in a league of her own, Catherine Masser. Catherine, great to have you with me. You have been to the Hall of Fame. You've also been to the Little League Hall of Fame. Tell us about those experiences.
Well, I'm enshrined in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, and that was in 2006. That I was called by Tom Schreiber, the curator of the Hall of Fame at that time, asked me if I would come for a three-day type adventure there, where they were having the girls that from the League of Their Own. They were there and they gave a little conference, and then they had Little League people, which was the first girl that got credit for playing Little League, which was false, and then me, and then some other girl that had thrown a no-hitter. So that was exciting. That was really probably the highlight, except that was in May, and then in September I got to throw a first pitch out for the New York Yankees that Bank of America sponsored. And that was wonderful. Things have just been happening right along that has made my life really exciting now. Even almost as much as it was when I played baseball for a year, well, for the season for Kings Dairy in 1950, disguised as a boy.
And we're going to talk about that. But for the record, let us establish that we're with Catherine Masser. She was the first girl to play Little League baseball. Let me ask you this question. I've never asked you this before. How much do you love baseball? How much did you love baseball as a kid?
Oh, you know, I was athletically gifted. I loved all sports, but baseball was my passion, mainly because my dad was a big Yankee fan. He also was very athletic, and he loved baseball. And so I wanted to be like my dad. You know, I loved baseball. He took me out, and my brother Tom, and we, would play catch, and then he would bat the ball to us and have us bat the ball. And he kept telling me, you know, you're really good at this. I knew I was. But, you know, I was good at other sports, but baseball at that time was my passion.
You grew up playing sandlot ball with Tom, your younger brother. Let's be honest, he's not here. So let's talk about it, Catherine. Were you better than him?
He'll deny that, but I thought I was better. But then I thought I was better than anyone else on the team, too. I started off batting in seventh position. I was quickly moved up to third position. And even though I was small, short, and very small for a 12, 13-year-old, I fielded my position well. I could jump very high, stretch out. I mean, I really did love baseball. And I thought I was very good, because I was told I was good.
And I'm sure that they were telling you the truth. So Tom tries out for a league run by the Knights of Columbus, and there you are. You're jealous of that.
Yeah, I was very, I was jealous. And when he walked by in his uniform, I started to cry. And my mother was sitting at the kitchen table reading the paper. She says, you know, there's another sponsor. They've got another sponsor for a team called Kings Dairy. And they're taking tryouts, you know. Why don't you go try out for that? Now, think back, 1950, a mother telling her daughter something like that is almost unheard of.
Correct.
So,
Can you imagine, though, if your family did not have a subscription to the newspaper, your life could have been completely different with regard to this, right?
Well, that's true. It was called the Corning Leader. And well, that's true. I mean, she would have to be reading that. And I think what Little League was doing, because initially in 1950 it was called Midget League. They changed that name to Little League in Corning to Little League. And there were so many children that wanted to be on a team that they then established another league, which was the league that I was in. Tom was in the Knights of Columbus, but after I played for a couple of weeks, he felt like he wasn't getting to play enough, and he didn't know anyone on the team, and he wanted to play on the same team I was on. So he came over and tried out, and so he got to be shortstop on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why people didn't know is that we were at a private school for the first 4 years, 5 years even, well, close to 5 years. And then my dad went to Bradford, Pennsylvania. We were there for 3 years, and when we came back in April or May, I don't know exactly, of 1950, the children there didn't know us. So it was rather easy to disguise myself and go on the other side of town. Well, actually, it was in Riverside. They had Riverside and then Northside and Southside. So the kids were from all over. So it was fairly easy then to just have my mother cut off my braids, and I borrowed a pair of my brother's slacks, and because my mother usually had us wear dresses or shorts or something, and I put on his baseball cap, and after she cut off my long braids, you know, we pushed the rest of my hair in a cap. And then as I was leaving, I said, what should I call myself? You know, if they say I'm Kay or Catherine, of course I went by the name of Kay, they're going to know I'm a girl. She said, well, you're always reading Tubby and Little comic books. Just call yourself Tubby. So I did find up as Tubby Johnston. That's how it began.
Wow. Catherine Masser now is with us. Catherine Johnston then. You went through three tryouts. Tell us about that. At what position and what did they make you do?
Well, actually, you know, they had us all out in, like, in a field, like, in, out in the field and batting balls to us and tell us which one would catch the ball and so on. And then we actually played on the diamond, too, hitting the ball, catching the ball, playing different positions. I was left-handed throwing a ball. I'm right-handed with everything else. But I didn't even realize that I had to take my glove off my left hand, and then when I caught the ball, I'd take the glove off and then throw it.
Because you're left-handed, you didn't have a glove on your right hand.
That's correct.
Yeah, you had to catch the ball and then take the glove off and throw the ball.
that's right. Until the coach, you know, gave me a left-handed first baseman's mitt, mm-hmm. And then we didn't have, you know, a lot of money. I didn't have very much money at all, but my parents did go out and get me a new glove once I made the team and a new bicycle. I was using my sister's sort of beat-up bicycle, my twin sister at that.
Congratulations on that. Do you remember back to the tryouts when there were boys trying out and you said to yourself, man, I'm better than that guy?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, sometimes when they would drop the ball or couldn't catch the ball, but I did catch the ball, and I didn't drop it. And I thought, you know, I think I can make the team for this next person or whatever. So, but I had a lot of confidence in myself then and now. But, you know, I just knew that I was a good player, and I couldn't see why just being a girl would keep me off the team. You know, this is the funny part about it. There wasn't a rule then that said girls couldn't play baseball. The rule was put in shortly after I played, and some people refer to it as the Tubby Rule. And that rule said no girls under any circumstances will ever play Little League baseball. Of course, that was changed back in 1974.
Right, after a lawsuit. Did you know any other girls in the neighborhood in Corning, New York, interested in or playing baseball besides yourself?
No, there was nobody who wanted to play baseball. I forced my next-door neighbor, Maureen, and we're still best of friends. We call each other almost every day. She lives in Corning, to come out and hold on to a glove while I tried to throw the ball at her, because she wasn't very good at it, and she dropped it. But, you know, there was nobody really wanted to play baseball. What we did, we played kick the can, hopscotch, and then we played tennis together, some of the girls in the neighborhood, and in school. And, the main focus for my sister was swimming, and so I went swimming with her a lot. We had to walk quite a distance to get to the swimming pool. I could still see my mom. She would give us a dime to buy an ice cream cone after swimming. You know, back then it was sort of a naive period of time. Children didn't have the gadgets they have now. We were out from morning till night playing games.
That's the way it was. But to you, boiling this down, this was simply a matter of fairness.
Oh, that's exactly right. You know, why should I not be able to play since I played as well as, or better than the boys? And I couldn't accept that. So I thought, well, you know, there's a way to get around this. I can beat this. You know, I'll just dress up as a boy and make believe I'm a boy.
Let me tell you about my experience in Little League. I got signed up, and I played for a team called the Bears in the Bronx. And they played me, Catherine, in right field because it was against the rules to play me in Sweden. So they played me in right field. I had no idea what was going on. There would be a fly ball that would come to right field, and I would start jumping up and down. I had no idea what was going on. It interfered with my counting the dandelions, and I would start invoking the deity. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then the ball would drop, and I wouldn't even know what to do with it. Now, at that time, they signed us up by sending out postcards. And after that season, I did not get a postcard, Catherine. Which means that in recorded history, may not be well known, I am the first free agent. I was actually playing out my option at the same time that I was playing my first year of Little League. So I'm sure that you were a whole lot better. And so they don't sign me up, and they don't send a card. And I spent that year, it kicked in, is what happened. And I taught myself how to pitch. That year that of free agency, I guess you could call it. And then the next year I came back and made the All-Star team. So there you go.
Oh, that's great.
But now when you made the team, and goodness knows you were better than me when you at our ages, when you made the team, your conscience got the better of you because you let the cat out of the bag, right?
Yes, I did. Kids were starting to say, "Is your name really Tubby?" And you know, so I thought, you know, I better clue the coach in. Once I heard my name mentioned as being selected to be on the team, I told the coach, you know, I am a girl, and he said, "Well, you know, if you're good enough to make the team, you should stay on the team." And
were any of the other kids, did you go undetected all this time?
I went undetected for most of the time. I think that's why I had to tell the coaches, because some of the kids were starting to think, you know, I don't think that's a boy. So, I don't know. But, you know, once I told the coach, he said, well, we don't have rules for girls anyway.
Wow. Now, we're with Catherine Masser, the first to play Little League Baseball. What an honor it is for us to have her on Ed Randall's Talkin' Baseball. All right, so now you made the team, and now here we go. You get in the business. You're a little girl, and you're being heckled. Tell us about that.
Well, I am being heckled, but I didn't want to get thrown off. Once I made the team, I didn't want to be thrown off the team, so I didn't say anything when people, you know, called me a freak or an Ed or whatever. I just sort of looked at them, turned the other way. And this wasn't the team members. This was people in the stands. And so, however, I did hear from one team member about 4 or 5 years ago. He talked to a classmate of mine and said, you know, next time you see Kay, tell her I'm sorry I pushed her down at first base. I only did that because she was a girl. He knew he was out. And so, now this was not very sportsmanship-like, but the next time he got up to bat and he was running around first base to go to second, I tripped him. Now, that was in Sports Illustrated. I only did that one time, and I didn't, you know, and that was because he pushed me down when he shouldn't have. I, for the most part, played a very sportsmanship-type game.
Yeah, even though it would be against our religion for you to get up and slug him.
Well, you know, there's a sports writer that does Peppermint Patty for Sports Illustrated, and he put something in the, well, he sent a link to me just about a week or so ago about comparing me to Peppermint Patty, but I wasn't as vicious as she was.
I'm sure you weren't. So the adults heckled you. Did other players give you the business from other teams?
The other teams, yes. In fact, one time I remember that I got up to bat. I was 13 then, and I got up to bat. And for some reason, the coach on the other team put this huge kid in to throw a pitch against me. My dad came running out in the field and said, no, you're not going to bat against him. I don't know why. He was afraid he'd hurt me. He was going to try to hit me or something. And I started crying. I said, I can handle it. But he took me out of the game. He says, no, you're not going to play against this kid.
Yeah, he sent something up. How many years did you wind up playing?
I only played that one season because they put the rule in.
Right.
After I played.
Yeah, after the season, your dad went to a Little League meeting, and he came back with the news that now girls were banned from the league, whereas previously there was no rule against girls.
That's right. Now, when we asked this gal that's writing this picture book biography about me, like I said, it's coming out in April of 2017, called Anybody's Game, she wrote to Lance and asked him about that rule, and he said that we can't say it was definitely because of Kay's play, but it coincided with Kay's play, so.
Just a coincidence. And that rule stayed on the book until a lawsuit was won in 1974 over what was known informally as the Tubby Rule. Now, a softball coach invites you to play for his team. Did softball satisfy your urge to play baseball?
Well, it didn't really satisfy the urge, but it was a lot of fun. What happened is, this softball coach down in Elmira, New York, which is about 18 miles away.
I worked in Elmira. I worked at Dunfield.
Oh, okay.
I started in the minor leagues in Dunfield, so I know it well.
Yeah, that's where we played. In fact, when I went to school down there, it was at the Dunn Memorial. But anyway, yeah, that's the part. Anyway, he came after me almost on a daily basis to play, and I joined a women's softball team that I was one of the youngest one, if not the youngest. I think there was one other person younger than me, but most of them were older. But we played all over. We played, you know, in Toronto, Rochester. It was in Rochester where I slid into second base head first and dislocated my right shoulder. Thank God it wasn't my throwing arm, but my right shoulder. And, of course, that was extremely painful, and I was crying. But the thing that made me more upset is the umpire called me out, and I argued with him. I said, no, I was safe.
And there's a story that the coach scooped you up and he's carrying you off to take you to the hospital, and you're busy while he's carrying you off, you're yelling at the umpire that you were safe.
Yes, that's right. They carried me off and they took me to Strong Memorial to have my shoulder reduced. That's a hospital in Rochester.
Tell us about, you referenced it earlier, when did you throw out a first pitch for the Yankees? And my understanding is you also threw out a pitch at the Oakland A's.
That's correct. Now, and it's coming up this spring, I'll be throwing one out for the San Francisco Giants. The Yankees was in September, I think it was September 27th, 2006. And the Oakland A's was, again, in September of 2010. I wanted to throw it out with the A's against the Yankees, and I wanted to have Posada as the catcher. But they said, no, that was already filled up, so it was the Tampa Bay Rays that I threw the pitch out.
And you have said, and I mentioned this in your introduction, that your dream was to play first base for the Yankees, and you can do the punchline.
Well, yes, in fact, my writer for this children's biography that's coming out, I said, she wanted me to give a quote, which I did, and I said, well, you know, one thing is I've always wanted, my dream, my father told me always follow your dreams. Don't, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it, and, you know, just don't ever give up. So I said, you know, I've been waiting for the Yankees to call me up, but because of my advanced age now, I think that I've missed that opportunity, but perhaps I can throw out a first pitch in the new Yankee Stadium. I did throw that pitch out again with Posada, and I held on to the ball too long, so it sort of bounced, to, you know, as a one-hopper to him.
I don't think anybody cares that you did that. Well, yeah, I know. I know you have a much higher threshold of your expectations. You said my dream was to play first base for the Yankees, but they haven't called me up.
That's right. They haven't called me up yet. Now, there's always that possibility.
There's always that possibility. Mark Teixeira is retiring. They got an opening, Catherine.
Oh, that's right. And he's only 36, but, you know, he's had a few injuries, and I don't know. I think he's an excellent player, but.
Listen, you grab your glove, and I'll come out, and I'll hit you some fungos, okay? And God bless you. You know what fungos are, okay?
Yeah, okay.
That's a deal. Catherine, what an honor to have you on my show. Bless you. Thank you for all you've done and your great spirit. It's a joy to know you. Thank you for being on my show.
Thank you, Ed, for asking me.
So that'll do it for Catherine Masser and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.